B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
It is the 5 o'clock hour.
My favorite hour. The Mike Missinelli Show, 5 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Guida, Door and Window. The people at Guida, Door and Window are great folks. They would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds. Together, we will all get through this difficult time. We'll come out of it stronger than ever. 610-632-0975. Let's get the calls rocking in the 5 o'clock hour with Ernie at Temple. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, buddy? How's it going?
Hey, man. I'm doing pretty good, man. I just wanted to talk to you about your point regarding Dougie P and his views on Carson and if he's frustrated with him or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree at this moment. About a month ago, I did, when they drafted Jalen Hurts. Like, I was kind of pissed off about it. But after I started to think about it, this organization, since Dougie came here, they have always, like, invested heavily into the quarterback position. Like, if you think about it, when Dougie first came over here, we had Sam Bradford here. And he brought Chase Daniel with him so that the help implement the game plan. I guess he felt like his playbook was a little complicated. And Chase...
Let me hold up. They've invested heavily in the quarterback position. Where?
But think about it. When they brought Chase, they gave him a $20 million contract to be a backup.
Well, that's foolish. Like, Daniel here isn't in...
But listen.
Yeah?
That's what they did. That was their logic. Their logic was to bring him here. They already had Sam Bradford. And that same year, before the season even started, they drafted Carson. And when they did that, they get Carson here, and they already had a stat QB situation.
They didn't have a stat QB situation. The reason why they drafted Carson is because they didn't have a stat quarterback situation.
Not stat. Invested. Like, at that time.
If they thought Sam Bradford was the answer, they wouldn't have drafted Carson Wentz.
But that's the thing. He still was on contract. They still was paying Chase Daniels a lot of money. They bought Carson.
What is your point here, and how does it relate to Jalen Hurts? Because that's where you're going with it, right?
Where I'm going with it is I feel that. Well, I'm trying to answer your question. Your question was, do I feel that Dougie is frustrated with Carson? And is that why, I'm guessing you're saying, is that why, is he salty on him? Or is he not feeling
Yeah, like I mean, it's more than just the backup quarterback situation. There's a lot of other factors in that.
What I'm saying is, because they've always invested so much.
Well, I disagree with that. What is your definition of investing? Bringing in mediocre players?
Whether financial or whether whatever capital they're using to keep that room stacked, they always paid money like crazy to keep it stacked. They always paid major attention to it. So what I'm saying is, I don't think because of what I feel, the investment that they've always put into that position, I'm not going to say that they're salty on Carson because of that.
But this is a different kind of investment. It's one thing bringing Chase Daniel as a backup veteran guy that you feel comfortable with, different than drafting a guy in his second round who, like, has a label of being a starter in the league on him. That's a different type of investment. Plus, they have invested. What is this concept that they've invested? Who have they invested in? See, they didn't believe in Sam Bradford from the jumps. Why they drafted Carson Wentz? They invested in Chase Daniel? They invested in Nick Foles, I guess. Well, I mean, that's an overwrought term. They invested in the quarterback position. We're a quarterback developing team. When he said that, my ears popped off.
QB factory.
The hell does that mean?
QB factory. Just an assembly line of quarterbacks.
Yes. All right.
Look how many they've had. Look at them. Look how great Nick Foles did last year in Jacksonville. He came out of the Eagles factory, went down to Jacksonville, made the Pro Bowl, right? Oh, he didn't?
Yeah, we're in the business of developing. Really? That's good. And let me know when that starts. AJ and Jacob Taylor, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
Hey, guys.
What's up, AJ?
I feel bad for him because I kind of knew what the kid before me was trying to say, but it just, I'm like, okay, you know when Mikey starts getting high-pitched and he starts getting annoyed, you're not making your point
clear.
Well,
I think he was tying it too. Don't worry, don't read into the they're not comfortable with Carson Wentz by drafting Jalen Hurts because they always do that. Well, they don't always do that. Who does that? Like, what team with a great starting quarterback invests in the number two position?
My whole thing is they obviously want a veteran. That should be the basis of every, you know, roster. It
yes.
doesn't matter whether you look at it as invested or not. Every mm-hmm. staff should have a veteran quarterback. And the whole thing you were talking about earlier with James from NFL Network, I hated that idea of throwing a bone to people of color, minorities, who should really just get interviewed for a fair shot. They shouldn't be handed a lollipop just because, oh, you're black, we'll give you a chance. No, don't do that. Don't.
Why not, AJ? If that's what's necessary to get the level, the playing field level, why do it's like foolish pride not to do it?
Well, here's the thing. Because we know now that the NFL has a big pride in trying to do this whole, you know, thing with Jay-Z and all that stuff initiative, it's crap. Like, I'd rather you just come out and just say, we don't really hire minorities or something. Like, just, if you're gonna be an ass, be a whole ass. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want any ass. You know, so like
That's a drop, Tyrone.
You see, I'm looking at the other side of it. See, I remember John Chaney. I had a conversation with John Chaney about this, right? And he was getting criticized for taking Prop 48 kids, and he hated the rule of Prop 48 that they couldn't practice with the team,
right?
And so a lot of schools would turn him away. They wouldn't recruit him. He would recruit him, and he would say to me, "You know, where else is that kid going to get an opportunity?" So at the very least, I owe that kid an opportunity. So if the rule is he has to sit out, I'm willing to take that chance because that kid's not going to get the opportunity anywhere else.
Well, if it's exposed, it'll probably lead to something. I would rather it just be one of those open things and not just trying to label it like we're going to throw a bone. Like, I mean, Lewis Riddick, I love him. I forgot that he worked for the Eagles. I wish he was the GM instead of Howie. I feel like he's an intelligent man, and he should be interviewed by the Eagles again just because he has history and also just because he's smart.
I think Lewis would actually agree with your assessment too. I think Lou would be right on board with that.
You know, Lou's in the area.
Well, I know he is.
You know, he might be watching you. Maybe we've had
Lou on.
Been a while. I don't have Lou's number.
No?
Nah, I'd like to get Lou on.
Well, how did you get him on? How did we get him on before? What'd you do?
Maybe I do have his number. Maybe I do have his number.
We had him on.
Or did you have his number?
I didn't have his number.
I think you had his number.
I don't have his number.
Somebody has his number. Somebody had his number.
I must have asked somebody for the number.
Somebody had his
number. Like, hey, you got his number.
You didn't save that?
You should have saved his number.
Must not have.
You didn't save it?
Nah.
Then you don't have it.
Dude, that R stands for wrong.
Yeah. That's on me.
It's kind of Humza in Philly. What's up, Humza?
Hey, how you doing? I like the show a lot. And
thanks,
I just came to call about the the like affirmative action stuff and the the changes to the Rooney Rule.
Yeah,
I just read up on it, and like the pick thing, like where they were going to compensate like hiring a minority coach or whatever with like a third round pick or whatever.
Yeah,
I feel like I agree with the last caller about like that being a little bit like too much, and I got rejected, which is good, I guess. But I think that the like the whole affirmative action.
Well,
thing,
first of all,
like,
why do you think it was good that it was rejected?
Well, I think that it's just like weird because it's like if you're having like the affirmative action thing in place, I think that's good because like it's something that needs to be like academically studied. Like people can't just like have like an opinion about it and not like have like not have taken like a sociology class or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. What you just said, I'm trying to understand what you mean. Like. What is your problem with if you have to level playing field by doing drastic measures?
You might have misunderstood me. What I'm saying is that like there's a difference between like having a level playing field and equity. So I think that like black coaches and like other coaches of color should definitely like have that. Like teams should have an incentive to
How's that work so far without doing drastic measures?
Well, I guess not too good, but I don't know. Maybe it is a good thing. But like, what I'm saying is that like, to understand these issues, they're like super critical issues to like for the whole country. And I think like anybody listening should just definitely like read up on like the sociology of
Did you read up on the sociology? I'm just curious now how you feel about it. If you are enlightened about the sociology, then what's your view?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think I'm, like, enlightened about it or whatever. I'm just, like, I came from an undergrad background in sociology. So it's, like, if you look at the academic thing, view of, like, having people lower in the social system, like, in the social stratification, which is just, like, how the, like, race-based and class-based, like, you know, system in the U.S. is, like, placed. Like, if you understand that, then you can...
I was waiting for you to tie it in, though, bro. You're giving me just general concepts. James Palmer brought up that, well, do you want the guy standing up there facing the music that the only reason he got hired was because they got an incentive? Well, here you go. On one hand, you go, I'm not going to get an opportunity. On the other hand, you go, I'm going to get an opportunity and people are going to judge that I got the opportunity because the only reason I got the opportunity. Either case, me getting the opportunity is the more important thing.
He mentioned all that sociology mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, he wasn't tying it
and
together.
If he all he had to do was talk about what is okay, so many times in sports, the pool in which you're grabbing from or is your labor pool. So a person goes from a certain level and they rise up. And you hear all the time about like coaches on the field. You hear all that stuff all the time, mm-hmm. right? It's 100% of the time in the NFL. A white person, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There's tons of black players, the majority black right. players. None of them are coaches on the field and then get a starting with the coach and then move up. Deuce Staley has been stuck, I don't want to use, but at that level for a long time. If there was a Caucasian Deuce Staley who's on a staff that wins a Super Bowl and then makes the playoffs three straight mm-hmm. years, forget the Eagles, someone would have given him a head coach interview. The fact that Deuce Staley, who's yeah. coached on his team for this long, won a Super Bowl, and was on this staff, got zero head coaching interviews,
yeah,
tells
yeah.
you all you need to know.
Here's the simplest logic, right? All these years of not getting a shot to coach because I'm a minority, the last thing I'm going to worry about is the perception of how I got the shot if somebody had to give up a draft pick. That's got to be irrelevant to me because I have enough confidence in my ability that now I'm going to show you. The last thing I'm going to worry about is how it's built. Well, that guy only got his job because they got an extra six picks up in the draft. So what?
I'm one of 32 now.
Exactly.
I'm one of 32 now.
Because the alternative is I wasn't going to get a shot. Logan and Hershey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Logan.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Logan?
I don't want to take you guys off top of Eagles right now. I'm a big Sixer fan. I'm a season ticket holder, and I want to talk about that. But first, I want to mention you said something about Sleepless in Seattle, and the guy like proposed or talked to her, and he put his heart and soul in her, and she said no, and he was all right with it. I proposed to my wife in the middle of Central Park on our 6th year anniversary of dating, and her first reaction, she turned around, she said no. And I thought my whole entire heart just got ripped out. And I wouldn't have been just okay with it. I spent 6 years with her and put so much effort into her, into, you know, making her happy and making us happy and trying to start a life together. And I thought it just all went downhill. But,
well, hold on, hold. She was with you for 6 years and said no?
It was, she said yes. She ended up saying yes. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Okay. She ended up saying yes. Her first reaction was no. She was surprised.
She was surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was turning you down.
I thought she was. I was devastated. I said, look, go take the picture of the building while we're in the middle of Central Park. It looked beautiful. She said, I'll take a. And when she was taking a picture, I got down behind her on one knee. So when she turned around, she was looking at the picture and she put her phone down and sees me on one knee. And then, you know,
threw me there.
No, yeah, sorry about that. But no, I'm a season ticket holder with the Sixers, and they just forwarded all my money for the remaining season to next season. So I'm assuming that they're going to play without fans or they're just going to nix the season. And, I've been in and out listening to you guys as much as I can during this quarantine, but I've been a little sick, so I've been sleeping through the day and missing you a couple days here or there. So I don't know your thoughts on it right offhand, but I'm assuming they're probably just going to either get rid of it
the season or just try to do without fans on like neutral ground somewhere. But
I got no idea what they're doing. I really don't. I start, the moment I think that I figure out what I don't think they know what they're doing. There's just these proposals that are out there. I don't think they're going to cancel any seasons.
I wouldn't want them to, and I don't mind if they play without fans. I mean, I've watched enough of Game 1 of 2001 Finals and all these Jones beats first game. I want to get it over with. I want to get moving. I want it. Baseball started. I was excited.
Listen, it is possible. It is possible the NHL and NBA cancel their seasons. I don't think they will because I think they're hell-bent to salvage it. Baseball and football definitely will go on. Just in a different form. Doug is calling from San Francisco. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Mike, I can't believe I have a beef with both you and Tyrone today. It's all lighthearted, but Tom Brady's a tool. There's nothing cool about that guy.
He's totally cool.
He plays well.
You can't have a supermodel not be cool. No, seriously, that takes him right into cool lane. Marrying the supermodel.
No, he's good looking. He's a dork.
He's not a dork at all.
Brady's not a dork.
Come on, he's a 6'4", healthy, athletic looking guy with a supermodel who's secure enough to do an Uggs commercial. That's cool.
All right.
That's cool. Come on, man.
I don't get it.
He embraces
it.
Cool. He's the best to ever play, and he embraces it, and he still plays. Yeah, that's cool.
But that's why you think he's cool, because he's the best to ever play.
That adds to the coolness. You cannot be the best player on earth and not be cool. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, he's not. I'm just telling you, he's not cool in my eyes. All right, but Breeze is cool to me. The guy hangs out with Marines. After he won the Super Bowl, he like hung out with the city of New Orleans, went to bars, hung out with them. Like, how is that not cool?
I think Breeze is cool in a different way. I think Brady's stone cool. you just hate him.
Well,
and you can't see the avenue.
No, it's not. That's actually not true, Mike. Actually, I hated him for the first three Super Bowls. After that, when he became that grizzly kind of angry guy, I loved him. My point is that Carson is cool. Because he plays well. There's nothing cool about Carson. Using your logic.
He hasn't even played well enough to be cool yet. If he does play well enough to be cool, he can flip the cool switch.
Okay, fine. Remember that season 2 years ago when he was like on fire? We all thought he was cool.
No, not yet. He was earning his cool. He would have had to continue that because he's got some weighty issues. Like he's carrying some weight of uncool from... like the North Dakota 1AA factor, red hair, kind of dorky fisherman's hat dude. Like he's lugging that weight. So he has to overwin to be cool.
I don't know. I think he's kind of shed the fisherman hat thing.
You know, when he first came into the league.
Well, yeah.
But then he tried to be cool by doing stupid...
I think Carson's cool. I think he's cool.
There's nothing cool about him.
I think you're going too far with the non-coolness.
Zero cool about Carson Wentz. He says the same thing every time. He's monotone. He doesn't look cool. He doesn't do any cool things. But that's not going to make me not accept him. But he is what he is. You would have to then overcome that with consistent Pro Bowl winning stuff. And then you earn cool.
Well, you got to give him some receivers to do that.
Well, okay.
You can't give him slack.
I'm not saying he can't swim in the cool pool, but he's got to do a lot of stuff.
Wait a minute.
So if Carson wins and then does an Uggs commercial, he'll be cool?
Brady's got gunslinger coolness. You can't take that away from him. He performs like a gunslinger on the field. That's in itself cool.
You know what I also noticed from that documentary?
Yeah, but that was the Patriots system. Speaking of corny,
Michael Jordan's kind of corny, by the way. Come out cool. His clothes were always horrendous. All that but extra
his clothes weren't. They're horrendous they were, by today's
standards. No, they were
long,
horrendous then.
Because they're long coats. He always looked good in clothes.
No, he did. People were clowning Jordan back then, except for the Church of Jordan.
Those glasses were terrible. They're all custom-made suits.
His music choices, the fact that he was listening to Kenny Lattimore before a game was corny. Michael Jordan was corny. You can say how great he was. Kenny Lattimore, that's how he was dancing to. That did
surprise me a little
Black bit. Twitter exploded when that happened because we know Kenny Lattimore.
Kenny Lattimore thing kind of threw me. But he was stone cold.
Nah.
Yes, he was.
Nah, Tough. Listen, Tough, a bully. Got his own office in the locker room.
He had coolness. But
Mike's corny.
The way he swaggered his cigar was cool. Yeah, you know, come on. He was cool.
Nah.
610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show is back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final numbers on our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. You're looking for a new mower. That's zero-turn mower. They're cool. Other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. That's where you want to go. They know the product. They'll pick out what's best for you. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. You order on the phone. Boom. Drive up. Take it home. Natalie Aganoff, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,500 votes on today's poll. Two cars pull up to give you a ride. Which one are you getting in? 47% are going with Dougie P, and 53% are going with Carson Wentz, including myself.
Carson came from behind to win it.
Yeah, he did.
A lot of swag when that comeback.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of swag on the comeback. You got to have swag.
By the way, what's the main beef you have with Kenny Lattimore? He was soulful.
He was soulful, but that's not pregame music.
What?
That's not pregame music for anybody else.
You need to chill out.
He wasn't chilling out. That was the weird part. Mike was turned up to Kenny Lattimore. It was like he was all. That was the one time where he was dancing, and it's going viral with him dancing and going extra.
Yeah.
I thought for sure in '98, I'm about to say, "Was he got Wu Tang in there?"
Mm-hmm.
Nope, wasn't Wu Tang. Like, what is this? Kenny Lattimore, he goes, Kenny Lattimore, he's a friend. I'm like, well, first of all, what?
He's a friend.
Yeah, he's less famous than you. Like, why are you bragging about a less famous than you friend? Like, I wouldn't brag about, like, oh.
You think he's listening to, while my guitar gently weaves. Kenny Lattimore did a.
He did a version
did
a of
cover that.
No, I think he was listening to, like, Without You or Without. It's like a real slow jam that he was probably listening to.
Listen,
what was it called?
Whatever worked for Mike worked.
It was called.
You know, Kenny Loggins, doesn't matter.
Maybe I should listen to Kenny Lattimore
more often.
What I'm
saying is support him, first of all, stream him. Like, Kenny, stream him, take care of him. He deserves it. But there's just nothing cool. He was a winner. He was a winner. Like, Mike won. Six rings, I heard it.
Yeah.
Not cool. And his clothes.
Yeah, I thought he was cool.
No.
Yeah.
Tough as nails.
He looked good in a suit, man. He had a suit body. The long coat, you know how I feel about the long coat.
Even then, it's like, man, what's up with Mike's clothes? Like, everybody, we let it go. See, this is way before LeBron. So, obviously, he's number one. But the community was like, you know, Mike was killing the Knicks last night, but what was up with that post-game suit? What was that?
His suits were fine. He had the good shoulder cut with the pleat pants were in back then. He had the pleats, you know, the long pant with pleats.
I'm looking at one right now. He's got this studded leather jacket on.
Well, see, no, he didn't.
Pleated pants.
Yeah, but he didn't go studded leather jacket very much. He went suit. You know, he went solid color suit most of the time.
Yeah.
He went mustard color a couple times.
Sometimes they catch him going to the arena beforehand without a suit, and the clothes were always corny. His music stuff was always corny. That doesn't mean he wasn't a great basketball player. Cornball.
Is this a beret?
He wore a beret. That's why he had to hook off on people sometimes, because at some point, somebody probably said, look how corny you are.
He can rock a beret. He looked cool in a beret. Carson Wentz wearing a stupid hat and he's just trying too hard.
We talked about the beret being tough last week. Didn't we?
Yeah, the beret's fine. You can rock a beret. If you can do it, you rock it.
You should wear a beret, Mike.
No, I'm not a beret type of guy.
I have two. Let me know.
I stay in my lane.
Let me know if you'd like to borrow one.
I don't go like, yeah.
Ty?
No, I go Applejack hat or something. like a rerun.
I'm not a hat man.
No.
Except for the ball cap on golf. Melinda in Delaware. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Melinda.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Melinda.
Hey, listen. First of all, Mike, he did look good in them suits.
He was cut. He had a good cut. That suit was custom cut.
It looked fly. Even I let him go with the white shoes, even though that was corny. I don't like men in white shoes. But listen, the reason why I called for one thing, but I'm going to talk about two. First thing is, all a couple of weeks y'all been talking about The Last Dance, but I'm not hearing love for the one man that Michael Jordan did say was all that. The guy that was unselfish, the guy that was classy, the guy that was, look, couldn't save the ABA, but damn sure saved the NBA. If it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be a Michael Jordan.
So Doc?
Dr. J. I'm not hearing where to love that.
Did he mention Doc? He did mention Doc. He showed reverence to Doc.
Listen. When y'all finish The Last Dance, now this one, go on YouTube. They got a nice one. It's not 6-10 parts, but it's a nice part about Dr. J, and you need to reflect and remember.
Oh, listen, Melinda, I was a big Doc fan. But Mike did pay respect. I mean, he influenced every great player who played in the air.
He did this, but he won the slam dunk competition. What did he do? He walked out and did the dunk.
He did.
Doc did on the first slam dunk.
Yes, that was an even more impressive dunk because that was the Afro flying backwards dunk. That was cool. Because he was at a rate of speed where the athlete was flying back.
All right.
Doc.
Doc was
cool. That made it the coolest.
Now, Doc's still cool.
Yeah, of course he is. He's stone cool.
And still knows how to dress. Dresses way better than me, Doc, still to this day. And still swaggy.
Swaggy.
When you compare the dunks, because Jordan did the redo, right? And Jordan cocked it and it was his legs were in the air, but he didn't have that breezing afro.
That added to it.
Absolutely. Let's go, Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
I'm going to do your hypothetical man thing again.
Okay.
In order to settle the Wentz Peterson. Matter, but just before that, I just want to say one thing about these guys that are opening gyms and being cited.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody does catch COVID from this or brings it home, they are going to get sued. And not only are they going to get sued, they're going to find out that their liability company is not going to cover them and they're going to be out of business.
Well, how about if they get it? And they take it home to their kids and their family. And, you know, it's all, you know, you can flex your muscles all you want until you're slain with by it. You know, this is the thing that they can't fast forward life to see. They could put themselves in their own peril and then everybody else around them. And so, like, what go? Where are the muscles then?
You're right. Anyway, here comes the hypo now. So I think this should settle the Wentz-Peterson thing once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have one or the other. Which one are you taking?
Wentz. I said that earlier. I'm always going with the quarterback. The franchise quarterback is more important than the coach.
And then we'll solve the affirmative action problem by making him the Eagles head coach. And we'll keep Carson Wentz.
By making who the coach?
Deuce Daly.
All right, but that's not going to happen. You know that, right? Doug is the head coach, so unless it's Belichick, but even if it's Belichick, he asked the people in the Boston area, would they have taken, they kept Belichick over Brady? It's always going to be the quarterback.
I don't know. Up there, it's a little different. There's a lot of fans. Now, they're upset, but they think they...
Well, look, he's going to get a chance to prove it this year. We'll see how they like it.
Not going to be so great this year, but maybe once he gets a quarterback. Don't give me this Hoyer.
Well, he's a miracle worker, though, isn't he? You say they were ready to keep Belichick over Brady. There you go. You got it. Miracle. Work a miracle.
Well, 8-8. They'll be like, you see, this was a 5-11 roster. Belichick made it 8-8. That's what they're going to say.
Keith in Los Angeles. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, once again, I'm having to call an audible at the line of scrimmage and change up what I'm going to talk about. That other caller was totally on point about Tom Brady. He's a dork, man. You can't tell me that you don't know any dorks that have good-looking girlfriends or wives.
Tom Brady is nothing. There's nothing dorky about the guy.
Where
is he dorky? He's a 6'4" athlete, well trained and handsome. Where's the dork come in?
Well, handsome has nothing to do with it. Did you see him at the combine? He runs dorky. He even runs dorky.
Dude, he's a gunslinger. You can't be a gunslinger and not be cool. But besides that, he's a tall, handsome, like guy with a great looking wife. It's like that makes him cool.
Okay, well, I mean, if he wasn't 6'4" and handsome, he'd be dating the Nikki Glaser.
Well, that's not really the point, is it? The point is that cool is cool.
Well, he got her because he got a good looking wife because he's good looking.
What's wrong with dating Nikki Glaser? What's wrong with that?
Well, she's not Gisele Bündchen.
Gisele's a supermodel, but why you got to take a shot at Nikki?
Well, because you and I have a conversation about Nikki.
Oh, that's right. You got it. Emails me. Oh, I got you.
Okay, listen. I got a question for you guys. Can I ask you a question just to see if there's any synergy between what you guys think and what I think? Why do you think Deuce Staley and Bienemy haven't gotten an opportunity?
I have no idea. But the other black coaches have been hired. Why those guys haven't been hired, I don't know. But it's also because they're not receptive to a lot of black coaches. So they go in dribs and drabs. So this is what I'm saying. You got to compel them to hire guys.
Yeah. So you think the way of doing that is to offer...
Yes, I think it's a damn good idea. And people are scared of it. So what's so frightening about that? Like, what? I don't get the fright. Oh, it's such a terrible thing. Why? Explain to me. Sit down to me. Why is it a terrible thing? You're trying to level a playing field that's never going to get leveled. All right, we have no sound off, so more of your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's coming in home stretch to the Mike Missinelli Show on a Tuesday show. I want to mention, of course, during this global pandemic, thousands of the people on the front line to help keep our community safe, the doctors and nurses and educators and much more. In fact, I did a little video for the people right down the street, the Ballard Nursing Home. A neighbor of mine is saying their morale is so stressful and low right now. So these are our health heroes. And if there's a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, whether it be a doctor, nurse, an educator, anybody who works in the health planning field, each day this week, the health hero we nominate will receive a $50 gift card from Deeds & Watson. So just go to the Fanatic, 975thefanatic.com right now, and nominate someone that you think is deserving of this. Again, you'll get a $50 gift card from Deeds & Watson if you're the health hero selected. Premium meats and artisan cheeses and your local ShopRite market for pickup. Order online at shop.shoprite.com. Our health heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. Just go to nopaybryant.com and find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. All right, let's go to Tim in Langhorne. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tim?
Hi, Mike.
Hello,
nice
Tim.
Nice to see you guys all doing well. Nice to see Natalie back.
It is nice to have Nat back.
Although I wish she would have brought her real dog and propped it up right on the desk.
You know, I mean, now maybe you should bring Ginger in one day.
We'll see.
Will Ginger stay for 4 hours of a show?
My only concern is that maybe she would bark.
She'd start barking.
But she might be okay.
Yeah, the barking thing would be hard to overcome.
By the way, I believe Nat might have broken the rules a little bit because she obviously had her hair done somewhere when they were all closed. But
no, Nat, no. She's taking her hat. She didn't go to the Ben Roethlisberger salon. Yeah.
But anyway, getting down to brass tacks here, I am totally in favor of the Rooney thing because guys like Tomlin might not have had a shot. In my opinion, he's one of the three greatest coaches in the league right now.
So, here's the problem. The Rooney rule.
Interview process.
The Rooney rule had not been producing the candidates, especially in the general manager's office. So if you have a rule that's just perfunctory, what good is it? So you had to strengthen it in some form. Now, they strengthened it a little bit. But, like, the draft pick was a good strengthening tool, in my view. And I don't think anybody would have been the worse for the wear with that.
I agree with you 100%, Mike. And you know what? On a smaller scale, somebody gave Tyrone a shot. And he's doing a fabulous job, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Tyrone earned
his shot by working through the ranks, just like these guys do. But a white ownership is going to be reluctant to give them a chance. So how do you incentivize a white ownership group? You got to give them something that's going to benefit them. That's the only way they're going to respond to it. So, you know, they can look like a hero and move up six spots in a draft pick, in a draft round, and they can justify that to themselves, and then people get more opportunities. Tim in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, Mike, I was thinking about what you were saying about the cool, and I just wanted to give a shout-out, you know, to Carson Wentz. And I know you've talked about this before, but he's such a good guy. You know, I realize as fans, we always evaluate what they do on the field. But what he does off the field is such a good thing for Philadelphia. And that's why he'll always be number one in my book. That's for sure.
Okay.
And
yeah, he's a good soul, good person. Yeah. But yeah, he's not cool.
And you always recognize that stuff, Mike.
Yeah. I can separate the one from the other.
Yeah. And the other one, and believe me, Mike, there's no one who at times has been more kind of annoyed at, you know, Tobias Harris when he gets lost on the court. But then what he did, what I read last night, where he's going to pay 12 people's rent for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to donate, you know, you were just had the commercial.
Yeah, he's going to pay their mortgage.
Yeah, he's paying it for three months.
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, that's the kind of aid that's really, really appreciated. That's the kind of thing we need to be doing. Like, it's nice when they all buy meals for, you know, health workers, but, like, doing that and helping somebody with their mortgage is awesome.
It is, Mike. And so, you know, even though, like I said, I can get annoyed sometimes, I quickly come back to the fact that this is a good guy. So I'll keep rooting for him.
All right, buddy. You got
take
it.
Care, Mike.
Oh, my God. Tonight? Really? NBC Sports Philly? Oh, I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to buckle the seatbelt. What's coming up tonight, NBC Sports Philly? Stay tuned for that coming up. Let's go to Julian in Chester. Julian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Julian.
Hey, Mike, you missed. What's going on,
What's
man?
What's up, Julian?
Hey, listen, I got a little bone to pick with my man talking about Jordan can't dress in his suits and all that stuff. And, you know, I know you guys were talking about it a little minute ago, but I'm a little offended. First of all, that's Mike. That's MJ, man. He's smooth. He fly no matter what. And you got to remember, back in the 90s,
he's playing the Church of Jordan music. Listen, hey, I agree with you, Chester. I mean, Julian, he looks slick to me. He had that tailored suit. You know,
you got to remember, back in those days, that's Jordan, Pippen. Those guys were wearing the finest of suits, man. That stuff was tailored.
Yes, it was absolutely custom made. Now, I'm not a fan of the long coat. He rocked the long coat with the high waist and the pleats.
Everybody did, man. I don't know how old he. I'm 42.
Yeah, I know. I don't think the long coat. He wore well. He's a tall guy who could wear the long coat.
Who wouldn't want to have, you know, a physique like him? Come on, man.
Yeah, he had a fantastic suit physique.
If you're 6'6", do you just look at Kobe Bryant? on his prom night and stuff like that around the same time. It looked the same. I thought we wore our pants with the pleats and the, you know.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. You're talking to Tyrone, Julian.
Yeah, that's
you don't like what Tyrone had to say.
Tyrone. Leave him alone, Tyrone.
You can pick out some Jordan hate, though. You can. You can be like, the dress part of it is you're out of line.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you look good.
All right, my cousin Hakeem and I have been going back and forth since I brought it up. He sent me a lot of these outfits. I showed him a couple of them. How bad are they?
Pretty bad.
And they're not bad. First of all, I would like to dress like it's the 90s. If I could, I would go back to wearing triple XLs. And all. I would like to go back there. Mike's just bad at it. I would love to go back to that old style.
Man, skinny jeans
versus the big 30. I wish I could go back to 42 waist.
The stuff I saw on the Last Dance looked pretty tailored to me. I don't know what you're talking about as far as the other laughable outfits. Let's get Manny in Newtown in here. Manny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Manny?
So, the Tom Brady comment earlier about Tom Brady being nerdy or dorky, and I hear what you're saying. He's a gunslinger, Super Bowl champion, all that stuff. But that guy was right. I mean, his combine video, I think he was wearing New Balances, and that was before
Kawhi. Who cares about his combine video? That's before he got into the NFL. You got to go back to the combine video?
I mean,
he's a dorky kid out of college at that point.
Hey, it looked like you in eighth grade running that combine.
All right. Well, then he learned cool then. So I don't remember the combine dates. All I know is that my man was secure, gunslinger, cool, good looking guy, got the supermodel girl. That's cool.
Okay.
I know you hate Tom Brady. Everybody hates Tom Brady. You can't deny the dude was cool. Listen,
I got a lot of respect for TV12. He's the man. But he is definitely that dorky guy with the hot girlfriend. Now, leave that alone. These gym rats who want to go to the gym act like you can't go out your driveway, take a jog, do some sit-ups and push-ups. Like, for the love of God, you can't go and find a YouTube
channel. Listen, everybody deserves the right to conduct their business. And that's their business. I know we need to be fit, and we're missing that workout part of it. That's really not the point. The point is that you're waving this shield of heroism, which is the opposite of heroism, and you don't even realize it. So that's going to play out the way it plays out. All right, coming up, Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly Lunch Talk Live, and then. The big Furkan-Korkmaz game. Sixers and Bulls in February. I'm in. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.